listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. It is a Friday the 13th, and so that's the focus of our poll question. Simply, do you believe in the Friday the 13th superstition? Yay or nay? I believe in it.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I always get a little nervous, a little anxious on a Friday the 13th as if something bad is going to happen. Tim Russert died on a Friday the 13th. That reinforced my whole Friday. I was a big Russert fan. Don't think I've watched Meet the Press twice since. So, yep, I'm a Friday the 13th guy. I'm not. Going to happen.
I'm not. Sometimes you got to look superstition right in the eye and tell it to go blank itself.
Yeah, I look it right in the eye and go cower in the corner.
I know you do. You believe in the sports gods. You believe in the...
Come on, tell me I'm wrong about the sports gods.
You really think the sports gods would let the Leafs lose this much?
Absolutely. Everybody's got to have their turn, man. That's what they're doing. They're sitting around. Yep. 55 years since they've won a cup, and somebody up there is going, well, we made the Rangers go 54, made the Blackhawks wait 49, made the Wings wait like 42. Yeah. Yes, we do this to original six teams. Hell, the Bruins, till they won the cup in 70 with Bobby Orr there, they had gone like before World War II since the last time they'd won a cup. Yeah. Absolutely.
Might have just been they were bad. It might not have been the sports gods.
Six teams, and the Rangers and Bruins couldn't win cups. I mean, that's a lot of work.
Right. There was this team called the Canadians.
I understand. They were really good.
You know.
Consistently.
It was kind of like the Yankees in the 50s.
Right. With no free agency.
60s, right.
Right. Once you got good, you stayed good.
Right.
For a long time. I got it. Nope. I know how it worked. But yes, I believe in the sports gods. Absolutely, I do. So if I'm going to believe in the sports gods, of course I'm going to believe something bad's going to happen to you on Friday the 13th.
I believe in the full moon. Bad things happen on full moons. And it's been reinforced. My wife's a veterinarian. She'll look up at night and go, oh, great, work's going to be wonderful tomorrow.
Yeah, my wife believes in the full moon thing, too.
People and animals. Crazy comes out.
When we would walk outside, you know, when we had a dog and... dog was doing its thing, and my wife would look up and go, oh, boy, next couple of days is going to be rough.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious, in the words of the great Michael Scott.
Hmm. All right. Plus, if you're a sports fan, aren't you a little stitious? Tell me you've never gotten up from one seat and moved to another one.
David, I worked in minor league hockey as a broadcaster for a long time. During the playoffs, if the team that I worked for lost, that tie was done for the rest of the postseason. And if we won, there was a good chance I might go back with the same suit and coat and tie the next night.
So the only thing you'd change would be the shirt?
Yeah. Yep.
This was minor league you were doing this, right?
Oh, yeah. And working for an organization, superstition was fun. We had an owner who used to stand in the same spot for the third period, and someone traced his shoes around and, you know, had, I mean, as when a run starts, and I was lucky enough for two of the teams that I worked for to go on long runs. One team won a championship, one team lost in the final. When you go on those runs, you can't help but buy into superstition. It's too much fun. And everybody buys in. It's not necessarily, it's a stition. It's not a Friday the 13th. It's not a full moon. It's just the playoffs, and you don't want to upset the apple cart. I always used to watch, and I don't know if hockey players still do it, but at the end of the warm-up, there is a routine that goes on as guys leave before they go off the ice. You know, one guy may whack the goalie on each pad, but there is a little routine, and it kind of happens before each period too. And you'll watch a team, there might be two or three guys that do something, and then the playoffs start, then there's four or five. And then it just starts morphing into basically the whole team's got an assignment. No one talks about it, no one says anything about it, but if you don't do it, they will hunt you down and hurt you for not keeping with superstition.
Remember North Dallas 40, that cult classic, in which they're taping the one guy up, and he slaps the trainer on the shoulder and goes, come on, man, what are you doing taping my left ankle first?
That's it.
So it's our poll question. You believe in the Friday the 13th superstition? Or as Felipe threw in there, stitious. Just, a little something-something for the effort.
You're not fully superstitious?
No, that was a great quote. You quoted Michael Scott there. I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. That's great. No, we knew exactly what you meant there.
You don't have to break that one down. We get it.
Good job by you. We have had a few Cincinnati Bengals fans because I brought up the Chiefs' first eight games. It's the first time in the history of the NFL that a team is starting the season by playing eight games against teams who the year before had a winning record. Bengals fans are pointing out, take a look at the end of our schedule. And the Bengals have, one of those really nice schedules. They play nine, they have a bye week, then they play eight. And can't really do any better than that in terms of a balanced schedule. So coming out of the bye, Mark, you tell me how difficult you think this is. The Bengals come out of the bye with the Steelers at home on Sunday Night Football.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steelers on the road.
Okay, we'll still see.
Tennessee on the road.
Again, I am, it'll be tough.
Well, I mean, you could argue.
Back-to-back road games.
But you can also argue, can the Titans be as good this year as they were last year?
I don't think they will be.
Then the Bengals have the Chiefs and the Browns at home, at Tampa, at New England, Buffalo at home on a Monday night, Ravens at home.
Pretty tough when the Patriots are the easiest game on the schedule.
And they won 10 games last year.
Right.
So
but listening to that, the Titans or the Patriots are the easiest of the two.
So I guess those eight games, there were 82 wins last year amongst those games. So, and the Browns and Ravens both missed the playoffs, both expected to be better this year for no other reason than you figure Lamar, knock on wood, is healthy, and so the Ravens don't fall off a cliff. And with Deshaun Watson, even for a half a season, the Browns should be better, right? And they had a ton of injuries last year.
Absolutely.
So everybody's got, their team, their schedule, things they like, things they don't like, that sort of deal. But a couple of quirks that are out there.
I will say, since you started this Friday the 13th thing, I would love people today to text us their sports superstitions. Because I find these to be hysterically brilliant in so many different ways. If you've never texted the show before, text the keyword FSN Radio to 21,000. FSN Radio, it's all one word, to 21,000. I'm talking to you, Lake City, if you want to text. But I want your sports superstitions. Like this guy says, I change shirts during the Dolphins game depending on how they're playing. My response to you is, how many Dolphin shirts do you own? Because you better have a drawer full.
The same guy also says, and I sit in the same place at home every game.
Well, that hasn't worked.
Well, yeah, and I don't understand why it is you change shirts, but you sit in the same place. I would change shirt, and then every time I change shirt, move to a different place.
Or keep the same shirt on and move. Try something different. What you've been doing, sir, has not been working.
I mean, unless you started this thing going all the way back to Shula, and you're thinking it worked once, it's going to work again.
Which would tell you that superstition does not work. I always laugh because I play a lot of golf. And we always play team games. It's never really, I don't play a lot of two against two. Usually it's a group of guys and your foursome's your team. And you'll have an order off the tee and you have a good hole and everybody wants to keep the same order. It's going to go badly. I always like, let's keep the same order. We got it going now. No one knows when the double bogeys are coming out. And it has nothing to do in the order of which you hit off the tee. But I would love to hear the people's sports superstition. You're a seat mover, right? When you're watching, you'll move.
Yeah. Well, I'm a pacer also. So
not a trotter, but a pacer.
Right. So that leads you to, I think, changing seats because you're up. You're up and you're moving around. Things get tight, I stand and pace. Most of the game, I can sit, I can handle it. Third period of a tight hockey game, fourth quarter, ninth inning, my team trying to hold a one-run lead in the playoffs, I'm up.
I could imagine you pacing last night in Lightning Leafs, even though you didn't have a dog in the fight. because it was an intense game. And if you don't have a dog in the fight, can you still pace?
Well, I wasn't pacing last night, but I was getting up out of my seat a lot.
Mark, of course you can. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you can definitely pace. If the game is as intense as it is.
It wasn't a full-fledged pace last night, but put it this way. If you were sitting behind me last night, you would have become annoyed because I was getting up too many times. It's like, sit your fat blank down so I could see what's going on, especially in the OT, because I'm rooting for the Lightning to force a game seven desperately, and the Leafs are owning the overtime.
Yes, they were.
So I was very tense.
Well,
very
our
tense.
Philosophy in this series has been the best player might be the goaltender for Tampa Bay, period, on the ice. And he proved it in the overtime last night.
He sure did.
Man, was he good.
He had about three, you know,
point blankers.
Four bell saves there in the OT. Paul asked in the Twitch chat room, what do I do if I go to a game? I got a big head, but otherwise I'm terrific to sit behind at a game. I don't move. I don't get in the way at all. In fact, I try to slouch down a little bit so my big head is lowered.
I was going to say, what do you do when you go to a game? Typically work.
Well, that's true.
When's the last game you've been to that you weren't working?
Probably a minor league hockey game here in Southwest Florida. That's probably the last time I've gone to a game that I haven't been working. Yep. So I don't know if that counts.
Right.
So a major league game, I'm going to have to think about that. I am going to have to think about that.
Because I don't know if you took in a hockey game or a baseball game when you were out west one time. I know you took a Wings game in Detroit.
Actually, right before the playoffs started, my mother and I went to a Rangers game at the Garden. That's the last professional game I went to that I didn't work at the highest level. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are your sports superstitions? Text them into the show. You can tweet them at us if you want. It's still the David Moulton and that Mark Miller. Dave, not David, not available. Not happy about that at all as we tried to make the change yesterday.
Shimko in our Twitch chat room. I have a Canes hat signed by Ray Lewis. He signed it for me in a mall while I was in college. There have been many games where I pull the hat out and it works. I can't be greedy, but it's there for me if I need it.
The point he makes of not being greedy there. So you can't be too greedy when it comes to your superstition because your team will lose. That's good work, Shimko. I like that. Miller and Moulton. We thank you for listening right here on the Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Minutes past the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. Griffin Youngs, who covers the NHL, will join us in a little less than 20 minutes' time. Pat Kerwin at the top of the 8 o'clock hour for all things NFL. Here on this Football Friday, to some degree.
Football Friday the 13th.
And that's the focus of our poll question. Do you believe in Friday the 13th superstitions? Yay or nay?
Texters say, my wife's a teacher. The full moon thing, real. Friday the 13th is not.
We just played the scheduled game during the commercial break. So if you are watching, following, subscribing on Twitch, we did it quickly. It wasn't that awful. But Felipe, you had stepped out of the room and we did it before you came back. Remember we asked you yesterday, as a Dahl fan, if I say I'll give you 4-2 in the division, but it's the exact same 4-2 as last year, you sweep the Patriots and Jets, you get swept by the Bills. And you said you would not take that.
Well,
No. It was a take it, or you'll take your chances. They play it out and see if they can do better. Or
get a 4-2 and get the Bills once. And you said it's got to be, I've got to beat the Bills. That was your thing.
Well, yeah. I said if I'd prefer to beat the Bills, but right. If our record
so you
is
wouldn't
terrible
take
in the division.
It. We, you know, it's once again, Felipe, it's a very simple thing. It's a yes or no. This is it. we're giving you 4-2 in the division, but here's how the 4-2 is going to happen.
And you said no.
You sweep New England and the Jets, but you get swept by the Bills. And you said no. I'm sorry. I'm going to try for better, or I want different, and that's okay. Just so you know, if you played the schedule game that we played during the break, we took what they had last year and applied it to the schedule game. We gave them sweeps of the Patriots and the Jets and getting swept by the Bills when we played the schedule game. And we had the Dolphins going 10-7.
Also, that's the end of the day.
That's how we played the schedule game.
And we were, I think, generous.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Not an easy schedule based on who they play, when they play. They got a 3-game roadie, which not a lot of teams have. We are asking your sports superstitions today because it is Friday the 13th. This person said Friday the 13th is a movie, not a superstition. Look it up. It was a superstition long before it was a movie. You know, by like 100 years, maybe more. But that's all right. This person did say is that anytime the Florida Gator, he's a Gator, anytime they play FSU or Georgia, I'm pacing and screaming and sweating. Not so much worried about where he's sitting, what he's wearing, just pacing, screaming, and sweating.
Pacing, screaming, and sweating. Yeah, that sounds like the big three. It does. I can relate to that.
Texter from the 813 says, feeling good about game 7. All the pressure is on the Leafs, but we have to stop the stupid mistakes and turnovers. We can't keep hoping that Vassie will bail us out. Yeah, very. I agree, sir.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're not the team you've been the last 2 years, though. Vassie's going to have to bail you out.
Well, I think particularly against this team, because offensively, Toronto's gifted.
Yes. Yes, they are. I will say this. They are playing better in their own end, and their goaltending has been better than how they've performed in recent playoffs. It's why they're a tougher out than they've been.
I've noticed that fans of teams that are mediocre to bad have more superstitions than teams that are really good. Like this guy. Must wear a Bears jersey while watching the game at home. If they need a boost by a particular phase, I will change jerseys to help. So I put on a QB jersey, defensive player jersey, etc. as needed. He finishes it with ridiculous.
Absolutely. Yep. Borderline
as
pathetic.
As long as you know.
Right. Right. Borderline pathetic. But that's okay. Works for you.
Gentleman sent us a super cute picture of his son in a Bengals onesie. He said, my son is 8 months old. He stays in a Bengals onesie on game day. Mom took it off at the third quarter during the Super Bowl.
So are we blaming mom or Eli Apple?
Are you still married?
Who takes the blame for the loss then? Mom or Eli Apple?
Or both.
Eli Apple's getting a little bit of a bad rap. He gave up 2 catches in the whole game. Of course, they were on the final drive, but I'm just getting a bit of a bad rap.
I have a superstition, and it's maybe really isn't really a superstition, but I just go to the game. When I'm there, they don't lose.
That's your theory?
That's my theory.
You've never seen a loss.
So
it's been a while, very long time since I've
talking,
seen a loss.
So this is playoffs now.
Regular season.
So Dolphins, Heat. Because let's face it, you're really new to the Panthers thing. You'd never gone to a Panthers game until we beat you over the head and chest 3 months ago.
The last Panthers game I went to, they lost. So it right. applies to the Heat.
So this is a Heat-Dolphins thing or just a Heat thing?
It's just a Heat thing.
Okay.
When I'm there, they always win.
Well, then you better pony up for tickets because let me tell you, the Eastern Finals may be harder than the Finals. I mean, right now, you could play Phoenix or you could play Milwaukee. Play Golden State or Milwaukee. For that matter, the Celtics. But you know what I mean. Right now, toughest out right now in the league.
I think the toughest out's in the East either way.
Could be the Eastern Final could be the toughest out.
Because whichever team plays Miami is as equal in the tough out department.
So, I don't know how much money you got left over from that college graduation, baby, but if you're a real fan, you would sacrifice it for the cause. I'm kidding, but that's how some of us think occasionally.
I'd go out and buy dinner, that's me. and pay rent, you know.
Right, watch it on a big screen, but whatever. Miller and Moulton. So you like the Monday night schedule?
I think
you thought it was. You thought our schedule's not awful.
No, I think it's
B minus, a B.
I give it a B, and you go out west a lot. You're in Arizona a lot.
Yeah, we got like five games, I think, out west, which is actually a little less than I thought we were going to get. I mean, think about it. You got the whole AFC West. You got the Rams and the Niners. I mean, I thought, and for you know what, and giggles, they may throw you a game in Seattle and Arizona like they did. So I'm surprised we're not west more.
Well, you actually got a little bit of a break because you got some games in the Central Time Zone with west teams coming east. Or it could have been 7 or 8.
So, but it seems as if everybody, you know, I even thought the Thursday night schedule is better than I thought it was going to be. There's a few really nice Thursday night games. I'm curious how Herb Street's going to be received by the NFL fan. You know, when you're doing a one-off, people don't really come at you. Like when he and Fowler did like the one game of the doubleheader, it was just
first
like,
time I thought they were good.
Yeah, I thought they were very solid. Yes. Well, they've got great chemistry. You know,
they know the players.
They do. They don't talk a ton of football, though, which helps them. They just kind of do almost like a baseball broadcast for a football game, and that's their style. All right. But now I'm curious, he and Al Michaels, how that's going to work.
It will be fascinating because just for Al at that point of his career to break in a new guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's worked with John Madden for 20 years on multiple networks and then just did damn near, 12, 13-year run with Collinsworth.
Right.
Yep. Now, and people may not care about this, what will help is everybody just about that Al's worked with at NBC, they're coming over to do the Amazon games behind the scenes. Producer, director, all that stuff. They're doing it. So he should have a comfort level there.
I'm curious what the watch rate is of it because they got a Thursday night schedule. I mean, they didn't do Amazon any favors with that schedule.
No, they gave him like two games in which you go, ooh, okay. But no, otherwise, I mean, Thursday nights was everybody in the league gets on once, basically. Because they get 15 games. So in theory, if you're not on twice, then that's 30 of the 32 teams that you get. Miller and Moulton. Back to the hockey and a bunch of game sevens.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Thanks so much for being with us. Pat Kerwin to join us at the top of the hour to talk all things NFL. Mark, I don't know if you heard the schedule was released yesterday. It's a big deal, apparently. Big deal. They took all the teams who they knew they were playing each other and where, in fact, they were playing them, and they put dates next to them. Stop the presses.
It did.
Yep.
What, 3 network shows from it.
Yes. Yes, they did. So Pat Kerwin to join us to talk about it coming up. It is Friday the 13th. That leads to a very simple poll question. Do you believe in the whole Friday the 13th superstition thing? So far right now, 60% of you do not. FloridaSportsNetwork.com, FL Sports Network, that Mark Miller, the David Moulton on Twitter, and you vote accordingly. Griffin Youngs covers the NHL for Fansided, fansided.com, with an emphasis on the Avs. You can follow Griffin on Twitter at G Youngs with an S, G Youngs NHL. Griffin, it's David and Mark. Thanks for your time. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it is our pleasure. Well, let's talk Leafs Lightning. All right, we'll talk our neck of the woods before we get to your neck of the woods, so to speak. Man, it's got to be tough to be a Leafs fan right now. What are you, 0-9 in your last 9 chances to win a series? Haven't won a series in 18 years. You outplayed the defending champs last night and lost. Oh, man, Griffin, what do you do?
It's absolutely brutal to be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. I mean, you look at that overtime for the Leafs yesterday. I thought the Leafs played great. They had the majority of the great chances in that overtime, but you're talking about the two-time defending champs in the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are not going to go down. And now this series shifts to Toronto for a Game 7 again, where all of the pressure is going to be on the Leafs once again, and a Lightning team that's won the last two Stanley Cups. I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I think it's going to be slightly different than last year because you could feel right after Game 6 against the Habs for the Leafs, all the pressure shifted to them. You knew Montreal was winning that game. I'd honestly say this one is a coin flip. Tampa Bay has thrived in this series after losses, but they're going to have to find a way to go on the road to a ruckus building and just find a way to get the job done. But if Tampa Bay gets on the board first in that game, or the longer they keep that game scoreless, the more anxiety is going to rise in that building. And is there a goalie you want more in a Game 7 than Andrei Vasilevskiy right now?
No, it's not close, Griffith. That's what I was going to get to. It's, I mean, really, you look at the two teams, and by the way, that game should be played tonight. I mean, just for Toronto. Shouldn't that game be on Friday the 13th? Shouldn't they move that up a day for our own sanity? But Griffiths, as you mentioned, the overtime last night, we couldn't agree with you more. Toronto dominated the overtime and gave one up. But both teams, Game 5, Tampa gets the lead and played a little bit reluctantly and tried to hold the lead. Last night, I felt that Toronto did a little bit of the same with 3-2 and didn't push it. When you look, I'm with you that you want to get the first goal. I mean, of course you want to get the first goal, but these teams can't just rest on the first goal. Whoever scores has to keep going forward, because I think it's been proven in the last two. Both of these teams are good enough offensively that you cannot give up the offensive end of the ice.
Absolutely. I mean, you just look at the first six games of this series. These two teams have proven to be just about exact equals. It wasn't until even Game 5 that we even had a close game in this series. Both teams have taken their turns dominating. And you had a 2-0 blown lead for the Lightning in Game 5 that the Leafs won on home ice. Still a great game down to the wire. This time, again, you have the Leafs coming back from down 2-0 in the second period before blowing that one-goal lead in the third. I think this is going to be an outstanding game, like I said earlier. Even if Tampa Bay goes up 2-0, or if the Leafs go up 2-0, God forbid for their curse sake, you cannot rest on any of these laurels until the game is done and over. And it's a fascinating game. You have a Leafs team that is well known that has not been able to get out of the first round and is now, I believe, 0-9 in clinching games since 2017, and a Lightning team that's won 8 in a row. And eventually they're going to have to lose, but is it going to be to this Leafs team? It's a tough leap of logic to make that it's going to be that team, a team that's had so much trouble in the playoffs, but anything's possible. This is a series I've been looking forward to ever since before it started, and it feels like destiny that we're going 7.
Griffin Youngs, fan-sided. Follow him on Twitter at GYoungsNHL, GYoungs with an S, NHL. All right, we had 4 Game 6s last night, and only one team able to close it out. That's St. Louis against Minnesota. By the way, you seem to take particular glee in the Wild losing. What's the story with that?
It's just with the Avs and the Wild. There's always a lot of trash talk going on there. A lot of Wild fans, they really believed in their team this season, and I have nothing against that, but I also kind of enjoyed seeing them go down when they called themselves the Avs Kryptonite for all season long. It's nothing personal. I love Wild fans, but doesn't mean I can't take a little pleasure in watching them go down.
How about this little tweet from Griffin last night? For the third straight playoff Fleury gets replaced and watches his team gets eliminated from the bench. All right.
I mean, with Marc-Andre Fleury and stuff like that, I love the guy. He's a great guy. But I do believe a certain amount of overhyping goes on, especially for the playoffs. We rewind back to January when Darcy Kuemper was starting to turn it around with the Avs, but people didn't fully believe in him yet. It was essentially, for a lot of people, a foregone conclusion that the Avalanche were going to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, which never made any sense to me. Look at Fleury's playoff performances throughout his career. The majority of them have not been great. 2008, 2009, spectacular Stanley Cup final and a Stanley Cup. But you look at the two Penguin Stanley Cups after that. Those were won by Matt Murray. And then 2018, great run with Vegas. And just, it hasn't been the same since. I just never fully understood where that narrative came from.
Well, I think the narrative came from is that the Colorado Avalanche have had the best team in front of a goaltender for the last couple of years and haven't been able to make it to a Stanley Cup final. I mean, is this finally the year? Trust me, I'm a Red Wing guy, and this is so hard for me to say, but I'm a friend with Jared Bednar. I'm rooting for the Avs, but he's got to get it done or he's going to be looking for a new job.
I think this team is absolutely going to get it done this season. You look at the last couple of years, people bring up the three straight losses in the second round. The first one was to the San Jose Sharks after they beat the West-leading Calgary Flames in five games. That was a seven-game series that went down the wire. Nathan MacKinnon goes down in game seven, and controversial endings and all that. Still, they go into that as an eight seed, just barely miss out. You go to the bubble against Dallas. They're down 3-1. They've lost both Philip Grubauer and Pavel Francouz. They push that series to seven. They're up late. They just can't finish it out. Then you go to last year against Vegas, a team that was equal to them in every regard. The only thing the Avs had over them to get home ice was tiebreakers. And they fell apart in that series. But you look at the way they played Nashville in the first round, putting aside the fact that they swept them, they showed a lot of growth in that series. And if last year's Avs team played Nashville, I think that series goes six, at least. This Avs team, they've shown a lot of resilience this year, a lot of growth this year. And I think they do match up well against St. Louis in the second round. And even at this point, I'd be shocked if they don't at least go to the Stanley Cup final.
Well, Mark, I don't know about you. I actually think the St. Louis series will be tougher than whoever emerges from the other division. I think Colorado has no trouble with even Calgary, to be honest. I think St. Louis will be a tougher out than will the Flames. All right, we've got three game sixes tonight. We're paying attention to the Panthers. You know, we talk about the Leafs haven't won a playoff series in 18 years. Panthers haven't won one in 26, Griffin. 26 years. Do they take out the Caps tonight?
I think the Capitals had their chance to win this series, honestly. You go back to game four, that Garnet Hathaway empty netter. Him missing that, the Panthers coming back to tie that game, that was a massive shift in this series. Game five, Caps up 3-0. And they completely deviated from the game plan that has worked so well against Florida in this round. I think Florida does get it done on the road. All the momentum's back in their corner now. If the Caps were going to beat them in this series, they would have already done it, honestly. And the Panthers are just too good of a team to stay down for long, and now they have all the confidence that they were missing after game three back. So, yes, I do believe they're going to get it done tonight.
Do you see a little Avs in the Panthers? You know, not to say that they're going to go all the way, but that just their style of play, the skill that they have, and that, you know, now they're starting to get the playoff experience that you need. They played the Lightning tough last year, lost in six. Do you see a little Avs in the Panthers?
I think the Panthers play a lot looser game, and they're definitely a lot stronger offensively, a little deeper offensively. The Avs, they've had some real heartbreaking losses. I think with the Panthers, it takes a little more than one playoff loss to Tampa. But I think they have overcome a lot in this Washington series. I mean, you just rewind back to game three, Caps win 6-1. The Panthers looked really dejected. And if the Caps held on for game four, then we're probably having a whole different conversation right now. But the Panthers have learned a lot. I think they need to just be a little more committed defensively. I don't know if Bobrovsky is the kind of guy that can carry you all the way to a Stanley Cup, especially as he gets older, but I do see a little bit of a comparison there. And if they do get the job done tonight, they're going to have a little bit of an edge over Tampa or Toronto in the next round with a few extra days rest.
I don't know what the status is with Crosby. I don't think he'll play tonight. If he doesn't play, do you think the Rangers can take this not just tonight, but take the series?
If the Rangers win this game tonight, all the momentum shifts into their corner, and if Sidney Crosby's not able to go, that's a massive hurdle for the Penguins to have to overcome in this series. And really the big thing, I think, in Game 6 is can Igor Shesterkin bounce back in Pittsburgh, where he let in a ton of goals, a ton of uncharacteristic goals on the road. If they get that, a big performance from Shesterkin, this is going to be a tough hole for the Penguins to climb out of, especially without Sidney Crosby. But like I just said, Shesterkin has struggled in Pittsburgh. If the Penguins are going to win this series, it's going to have to be tonight with or without Crosby.
Do you have to play Shesterkin tonight? And I'm a Rangers fan. I know exactly what I'm saying. I mean, he's one of the three finalists for the Hart. He's going to win the Vezina. But Griffin, they gave up 7 goals in the in each of the games that he was in the nets for against the Penguins in games 3 and 4. Are we sure that we trust him in that building where he seemed really shaken by the atmosphere and everything involved?
I think the Rangers all season have gone ride or die with Igor Shesterkin. You've got to do the same here tonight. He has the potential to pitch a 50-save shutout, but like we've also seen in Pittsburgh, they have been able to get under his skin. Alex Georgiev came in for Game 3, played great for the most part, but that goal he allowed to Danton Heinen for the game winner also just can't happen. If Georgiev had finished that game off in Pittsburgh without giving that up, I think I would agree with you and maybe you lean him, but with that goal given up and just how much you have rode Igor Shesterkin this season, I think you've got to see this thing through.
All right, very quickly, Game 6 is tonight. Pittsburgh, Florida, Calgary, all the chance to close out. How many closeouts do we get?
I'm going to say that we get 2. I think the Panthers close out, and I think the Flames close out, and I think the Rangers are going to force a Game 7.
Whoa. Griffin Young's fan-sided, covers the NHL. Follow him on Twitter, G Youngs with an S on the end, G Youngs NHL. Griffin, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can hook up later in the playoffs.
Absolutely, Demon. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Griffin Youngs from Fansided, kind enough to join us here on Miller and Moulton. It's funny. You keep talking about no Crosby and the Rangers. He's talking about the Rangers. I'm the Rangers fan. This series is over.
You've backed yourself into a corner during this segment.
First off, love the fact they're at home, the Penguins. Like, without Crosby, I don't think they can win without Crosby on the road. I don't. I definitely think they can win without Crosby in a game at home. First off, you could get Malkin could turn back the clock for one night. It's one night.
Well, look,
one night.
At this point, he plays a different game at home.
Yes. One night. Secondly, Penguins dominate the faceoff circle in this series. Dominate it.
Well, Sidney's one of the reasons why.
I know that. And Jake Guentzel right now is the best player in the series. Now, it helps because he's usually on a line with 87 there. But I'm telling you, and Mike Sullivan's the better coach in the playoffs. Okay, because he actually pays attention to lines and matchups, and Gallant just rolls everything out. All right, he's not as big into matchups, which in the playoffs I think is ridiculous. But I'm telling you, Pittsburgh can win tonight without Crosby. They really can.
Well, they're going to have to because I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, I know. What?
I think it's a concussion. I watched it hit 4 times. It's not his shoulder. I think it's his head.
Did you? I thought the hit was clean.
I didn't.
Really?
I thought it was high. Again, borderline. I have no issue with them not calling a penalty. It was not worthy of a suspension. I thought it was maybe worthy of a 2-minute penalty.
What was interesting was the NHL didn't even have a hearing.
No.
About it.
Well, I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was worthy of a hearing. It's not like he threw an elbow up in someone's ear. But I thought the hit was high. I thought they could have called a 2-minute roughing penalty if they wanted.
He hasn't had a concussion in a while. Miller and Moulton, Pat Kerwin next.